Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM and more.
Yeah, it's the more that always I find quite extraordinary. Equine gymnastics gone the same way as clearly the event at the CLA game for cancelled, not connected, etc. Same way as Hannah O'Brien. No sign of her, although I gather from Ian she actually looked in with a friend earlier. Not today, I don't know. Perhaps it was something I said, I don't know. But Katie Grimason, the reliable soul from Birmingham, even though last week she was sitting by her telephone waiting for the link, never manifested, did it, Katie?
No, never, but I'm here now.
Exactly. And do you know Malcolm Tomlinson had even momentarily forgotten this little classic he'd churned out for us?
Tiffany Freeman and Katie Grimason bring so much more to the midweek drive than just their effervescent views from Leicester and Birmingham. In fact, they're the audio equivalent of a Bucks fizz. But is Tiffany the champagne and Katie the orange juice? Or vice versa?
Well, these days we really should put these all in a collection album, shouldn't we, Malcolm?
Absolutely, yeah.
Very true.
You worked me so hard.
I know, just swing that microphone round to your good self, etc. And whilst you're doing that, I shall invite Katie to share with us what have you made of the show so far, Katie? I mean, I realise that when you put up that plea on Facebook saying you're just at home in Birmingham missing the show, I said, right, it's time you were sort of signed in there, etc. What have you made of the whole experience?
I think it's been a very chilled out show, but I've only been listening for about 5:45.
Well, that's a good, well, that's nearly 40 minutes.
I was at my nan's sunbathing.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to get your priorities right, Katie.
So on that basis of 40-odd minutes, whom would you like to speak to? Would you like to speak to the ace head of public relations at the University of Lincoln, of course, the programme that runs marvellously within the Journalism School? That's Jane Croft, who still hasn't talked about narrowboating as yet. Would you like to speak to the returning midweek drivette that is Nicola Clancy, who has sat in the studio in a whole heap of ways, etc., and has become a regular location reporter and is of course, now no longer our Leicestershire correspondent because she's actually in Newark. Stash Lincoln, Newark. It's all good. Would you like to speak to Malcolm Tomlinson? Of course.
I'll go for Malcolm.
I didn't even have a chance to say Sarah Hammond. It's just straight in there. I'm sorry, Sarah, but, you know, Katie, away you go.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question, like when you was in the studio last time.
Fire away, Katie. I'm all ears.
It's about that looking over the Dragon film or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I just finished it. Finished it 3 weeks ago.
And you said your character was quite nasty. So how did you get into that role? nasty?
Yeah, actually,
it's worth concentrating because Sarah's jaw dropped open there. Malcolm, nasty.
Malcolm. He's so pleasant.
Exactly. How does Malcolm get nasty hard and such like?
It's funny, you know, Katie, because I was sitting down in the green room at one of the studios in between takes, and you know they sometimes wander around now with a camera trying to get you to do stuff for the DVD, sort of back scene stuff on the DVD. And the girl was wandering around with the camera, and she obviously had no idea what my character was. So she sort of came over and she said, "Would you do a quick interview?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I will." Yeah, and she said, "Do you think your character is very similar to yourself?" And bearing in mind he was a racist, paedophile, bent policeman, you know.
Yeah, I thought because we have them on Midweek Drive every week, don't we? No.
I thought, what a brilliant first question. So I said, yeah, we're really similar. I think that's probably why I got the part. And then she sort of looked a bit blankly and said, "Do you want to tell us about your character?" And I said, "Yes, he's a racist, paedophile." And she had a look on her face, and I've never seen anybody move quite so fast. You know. And the interview was very short.
And that, Katie, is one of the reasons why when you're doing these things, do your research. Yeah, and I'm looking at Malcolm Tomlinson's IMDb page here, Internet Movie Database.
Right.
And I see you're known for, obviously, Emmerdale, Looking Over the Dragon.
Yes.
Delicacy.
Yes.
And, of course, Cold Feet. And you can actually get socks for those, I believe. Sorry. It's an old one, but, you know, I couldn't resist it this time of day, etc.
Very witty,
Alex. One tries. So, you know, if you couldn't reach Graham Harper in the casualty cutting room, what can we actually do on that?
But the answer to your question, Katie, basically is that you just sort of have to let the script take you there, really. You might want to talk to Sarah about it, because she's an author, and you know, somebody who creates characters might be able to give you a better answer to the, question.
But
from an actor's point of view, you just let the script take you to the places it needs to take you. That's the only way I can describe it, really.
Assuming it's literate and they don't sort of turn around and say, whatever. So, yeah, a point taken. Sarah, you know, when you're writing, and when did you write The Night Sky in My Head with a cinematic view? Did you, obviously, you picture the characters, you had sort of notions, and without going too far into the whole routine, Ralph, not a nice bloke, a bad'un, basically.
He is a bad'un, yes. I think writing, well, my experience of writing is it is a little bit like seeing a film playing in your mind. You try and get into the character and try to see life the way your character sees it, and try to think what they think and feel what they feel. And it's a weird thing, writing. Stories sort of almost speak to you sometimes. It's quite a strange process.
Once again,
I don't know what else to say, really.
Katie, you've said so much in that short contribution to the world. I feel as though once again, you know, the state of humanity has just moved forward several notches, which is brilliant stuff. At least we managed to connect with you this week, which is great. Any sort of thoughts? Because actually, Malcolm, you've spoken to Phil Leonis before, haven't you?
I have. Yes.
Jane, you haven't, have
no.
you?
No.
And Sarah, you haven't spoken to Phil Leonis, so he's Los Angeles correspondent director. Nicola Clancy, Phil Leonis, I think probably before your time, actually.
I guess I haven't spoken to him.
Yeah, well, yes. So how then, Katie, should the terrific triumvirate, the tremendous trio of Sarah and Nicola and Jane actually sort of approach Phil Leonis? Because he can be quite scary. Obviously, he sat in the studio with us before, you know, when he's come over from Los Angeles. What sort of things? I mean, he normally is, it's mid-morning in Los Angeles now. He's been listening online. We've just had an update on his Facebook scenario. He always provides director's notes for us in terms of how the thing's going. What sort of things would you prep them for, Katie?
Oh, I don't know.
Lots of help that was then, basically. But to, I mean, the one thing I appreciate, I always, and I keep embarrassing Katie, because in many ways she was the total reverse of Nicola. There was Nicola regularly fashionably late to all her seminars. You know, I think it's fair to say, Nicola, you were a fashionably late student.
Yes, I was.
Fashionably late.
Improve now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, finances, you can't be rewarded. Exactly.
Not saying that it wasn't then, obviously,
of course.
But yeah.
We academics. Katie, on the other hand, usually half an hour beforehand, she's in place. 9 o'clock in the morning.
You bring this up every time.
it's because I was so impressed with that, because, you know, it's fantastic. It's just
never
it's quite
been done before or since.
I feel if she'd stuck a little bit further, she would have been our Rookie of the Year, you know, as it was, you know. Hannah O'Brien became Rookie of the Year for the Midweek Drive. Never heard from her since, basically. That's it. Anyway, last two questions for Katie Grimerson, then, please, Malcolm.
Katie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat?
Yes, I have.
Good, and will you come back and do it again?
Yeah, if you want me to.
Of course we do.
That's what we like about Katie. She always likes to big herself up tremendously. That's, you know, it's always important from that point. Of course we do. You know, Katie Grimerson, she will return, and she'll work our way through the whole process. Now, soul coaxing. Malcolm, you possibly remember the classic soul coaxing theme?
I will do when you play it.
Los Angeles Orchestra. Just, you know, 2 minutes, 39 seconds of sheer audio bliss. Louis Lefebvre wrote the original.
Sounds perfect.
Oh, well, here it is. Just got a warm feeling. I feel as though my soul has been coaxed.
From LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the Midweek Drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Leonis.
Yay! You can hear the cheers going across the globe, round the whole Pacific brim, and straight into Los Angeles. How are you, Phil?
I'm doing excellent. You described me as scary in the last segment, and there's no kinder. No, I mean, that's what you want to hear. You want your reputation to precede you, because then it's so much easier to be nice to people. You know, it's great. It sets up an expectation. I love Katie's segment. I'm so glad you got Katie on the show. The thing that, I mean, Katie is cute as a button. She's the cat's pajamas. The thing that I love about her the most is she's always on time. She's always there, and yet she's always surprised when you ask her a question. You called her up, ostensibly, one would think, to speak to her, and yet she constantly reacts like it's the furthest thing from her. Oh, you mean you wanted me to speak? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's her thing. And that indeed is why she would have made a great Rookie of the Year.
She was very close, I must admit, in the whole scheme of things, but it was obviously the inability of her to get together for the cake-off competition and, of course, some of the other things that led to it. It's gone. It's sorted through now. That's the important thing.
Alex, are you saying that the actual Rookie of the Year, a known snickerdoodle, if there was one, Hannah O'Brien, has gone missing?
I'm afraid so. I know.
Do I have to send Dean Haglund out around the world? The snickerdoodle is out there?
I think we are certainly heading to that scenario. I shall dig out the jingle for the benefit of those people who sort of said, where has she actually gone? But you know, last seen in Sheffield, I believe. And you can't get further away from civilization than that. But still.
Has she been recruited by the branding police?
Jane's almost sort of just needs to reach for, almost an attack of the vapors. Yes, indeed. Hannah, if you're out there, remember, of course, there was this specialized jingle that Phil produced for your good self.
Hi, this is filmmaker Phil Lernis.
And this is actress Lily Holloman.
If we've learned anything from all of our travels and adventures,
it's that Hannah O'Brien is a snickerdoodle.
She's also
the Rookie of the Year
on Siren FM's Midweek Drive.
Yes.
You know who is not a fan of that jingle is Anna Rain, who thinks that I sound a little bit too much like a corporate robot in that. She's beginning to think that I'm a Cylon. And I must point out, by the way, when Malcolm claims not to know what a Cylon is, there's no greater proof that you are, in fact, a sleeper Cylon agent by claiming to not know.
Phil, I wish I knew what you were talking about, but I haven't got the faintest idea.
You know what I want Malcolm to talk about, if he could for a moment, if I'm allowed to ask a question, and I think after a year of weekly appearances I am. Malcolm, I want to know about Delicacy. When are people going to get to see Delicacy? Have you seen Delicacy? Because I've been following this, and this is like just a crackerjack idea, this film.
Well, it is. I have actually seen it, Phil. But the trailer's up on YouTube. Did you see the trailer on YouTube? Is that where you've seen
part of it? I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as I'm aware, it's doing the rounds at the festivals at the minute because the young director Jason Mann, who put it all together, is presumably trying to either sell it or make his name or get some interest in it.
If I may, just a quick little précis of the plot, because it fits well with William Sitwell, of course, our culinary expert, who's on the show tomorrow morning at 9:30. Yeah. Delicacy, an extreme culinary connoisseur and an expert chef, both obsessed with rare meats, go in a hunt for a unicorn.
Correct, yes. That's basically what it's about.
That's a bit high concept, I find.
Well, it's different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's certainly different. And it has caused, quite a huge amount of interest. So
in Los Angeles, it's obviously water cooler stuff.
Well, there you go. But in actual terms of it coming out or being bought and screened on TV, I couldn't have offer a clue as to what's happening to it, Phil, to be honest. But I just know that they're playing it around the festivals at the minute.
You know, this is one of the things about the wonderful things about technology is that we get to make friends around the world. We get to have friends in different countries. But one of the frustrating things until recently is that smaller films, independent films, often don't get the chance to travel and get distribution in other countries. I mean, it's only really the big films from any country that get widespread distribution. And so you'll exchange notes with your friends in terms of what they're working on or what they've seen and what they love, and it's been very difficult to find those movies. And I see that changing. And as you know, Alex, you know, we talked about it on our show on Chilpack Hollywood Hour. There's, I have high hopes for this site that's about to launch in Europe, though it's a global site, but it's called Indie Mondo, and it's all about taking the best independent films from every country in the world and making them available streaming in a non-exclusive way to every other country. And I have high hopes for this, that this will become one of those things where we'll get to now finally swap ideas of what movies we want to see and what's exciting, and everyone will get the chance to see it. So hopefully I will get to see Delicacy very soon.
Well, I hope so, Phil, and I hope you enjoy it. But it's a great idea. I mean, you know, the more we get to see work from everywhere around the world, the better it's going to be for everybody.
It's a global economy.
Yeah.
You know, centred on the Midrate Drive here at the University of Lincoln, Siren 107.3 FM. It's my bit of corporate branding there. Sorry, just slipping that one in there. It's time now, Sarah, for your good self to... It's not no pressure, but obviously, Phil, directed The Truth Is Out There, directed a whole heap of other goodies, etc. He's on his 7th, 8th movie, etc. Weekly show, Chilpack Hollywood. Had to actually ask Phil as well, have you finished Ian Lennox's books that we gave you when you were last over in Britain? Because Ian was asking me, and he's on the show tomorrow, I said, I'll ask him. I shall ask him. Has he actually read The 60s Man and the Brothers?
I have not read The Brothers. I started The Brothers, and then I decided I wanted to read 60s Man first.
That's okay.
So I read 60s Man, and I'm glad that you asked, because I actually had written that down at the top of my notes of things to discuss today. Not only did I read it, and enjoy it, which of course is no small thing. I'm sure Ian is giggling. He's beside himself with pride over that fact. But more important, I gave it to my father, who is very discerning and a very difficult critic when it comes to books, and he reads voraciously. And my dad loved The 60s Man.
Okay. Marvellous stuff. So, obviously, the bar has been set, but I feel you can actually easily vault over it. Sarah, it's your choice. No random date suggestion. Would you like to actually deliver a little reading yourself from, indeed, the book What You Wrote, to use that well-worn phrase, beloved of Ernie Wise, etc. It's a Morecambe Wise thing. She's too young, Malcolm. You see, play What I Wrote, the book What I Wrote. There's probably somebody out there.
Nice try, though, Alex.
Angela Rippon would have got that reference, wouldn't she, Jane?
Indeed.
Yeah, never mind. Would you like to make us a little selection and read a page from The Night Sky in My Head of your own choosing?
Yes, I would love to read something from the book.
17 minutes to go, no pressure, but you know, carry on.
Okay, well, the shall I go ahead now? Yeah, the bit I maybe picked to read to you is, I perhaps just put it in context and then I'll launch in. My protagonist has got a little bit upset about something. He's been a bit spooked, which he often is in life, and so he's gone to calm down by the river with his dog. And as he sits there, a farmhand comes to talk to him. He's never met him before, and Mikey doesn't like talking to strangers, so he doesn't talk very much. The farmhand talks to him, and he points at something down the riverbank. He spots something. Mikey gets a bit upset about this. He doesn't want to talk about it. He gets a little bit spooked, but the farm man persists, and this I'll start to read from that moment. What's that? The man points to a dark shape by the water this side of the riverbank. There is a quiet all around it. I've never known anything so quiet. The river goes by, but she knows too. This is another of her secrets that goes down into the dark deep. I don't know how I know it, but I know this secret. I know the dark shape. The man looks at me, eyes wide. Can you see that, mate? I take a step forward. Timmer stays close to my legs. He nearly trips me up. My head feels underwater because I can't hear properly anymore. There's a gap in the reeds and I can see a boot. A muddy boot, yellow laces. The field and the river spin round and round me, but the boot stays still. I don't need to go any further. I know, I start, but my voice cracks. The man grabs my arm. You know what it is? His face is close, but it's all blurry, and all I can see properly is that boot, the muddy boots. They were poking through the broken deck chair in my shed last night, waggling because he got stuck. The man runs down the riverbank. He shouts at me, but I can't hear him. My legs won't work, and I flop down onto the grass. He's waving his hands. The wind blows the reeds.
The sky has gone dark. I'm cold. The man's bending down now, waving at me to go over to him again. I shake my head. I can't move. I know who it is. It's the tramp.
Fantastic. It's just if you didn't get chills, Phil, I'd be listening up to a high. I was actually combining that with also looking at Alana Rain's photograph. She sent photographs across during the show of her looking out at England across the shores of the Atlantic Ocean. There we are, you see.
Whoa, look at that.
Very good. You see,
wow, magical.
I feel as though we're bonding. every sense of the word here, which is brilliant stuff. So, Phil, the night sky in my head. You've hopefully managed to hear three little extracts there, one delivered by Malcolm Tomlinson, one, of course, by the author extraordinaire, and one by myself. Do you think it's worthwhile sending a copy over to your good self and thinking, yes, I want to find out more about Step Backwards, Witness the Murder, Find the Truth?
Not only is it worthwhile, but I would love you to actually send me an accurate link for Sarah's website, since in the email.
Yeah, I know. I put in a.
It didn't work.
You're quite right, because I actually spelled it ham with a treble M. It's not three M's, clearly. Yes, I appreciate that, Phil. If you go to sarahhammond.co.uk, you will find the magic actually happens. And it is a wonderful website as well, actually. I have to say, I was commenting on that.
Do you see how much I've learned? Because, of course, I used to be so bad about plugging websites.
I know.
Until I got called out about it when I was there live in studio with you.
Yep.
And now, any excuse I can to help somebody get their website out there, I'm trying to do it.
Very true. Yes, sarahhammond.co.uk, and it is a truly wondrous site indeed to behold. But, so anyway, it's over to you, Phil. Questions for Sarah, Nicola, or indeed Jane.
Well, I'm glad that I get the chance to speak to Nicola, because when you were talking about me earlier and describing me, you said to Nicola that I was before her time. That's what you said. And Nicola, you did understand that what he meant was that when I was there in person,
right,
it was before
okay.
you had been there. And not that my career ended a long time ago. And that, you know, I'm someone only the older folks know about. I'm very much now, the kids dig me. I think it's important for you to know that.
Excellent. So you're still very much live and kicking then?
I'm at least kicking.
I tell you what, I'll hold up the official banner, because you still are actually positioned on the banner, and you may be able to see on the Magnificent Seven of fine folk are actually there. You might be able to identify who Phil Leonis actually is.
nice dress, Phil. Nice dress.
Yes, sitting two seats to the left of.
Oh, he was
Peter
the one
Grimmison.
On the right. Oh, sorry.
I know.
Yeah, I think it's much like Alana Rain. I constantly feel that my life is a movie set. I also, though, constantly feel that Alana Rain is on the much better movie set.
East Coast,
how do I
West
get
Coast.
In that movie. Yeah.
It'll happen. It's the important thing. It will actually happen. For notes, you've got a good five or six moments and minutes. That's 300 seconds, Phil, to just relax and unwind, because I'm not going to try and get equine gymnastics on. You know, they had their chance.
Right.
Same with Graham Harp. I'm sorry. It's time to move on.
Well, musically, this show has been another one for the top shelf, just an excellent show musically, and the comparison that I would make, and I do this even though at the same time I always hate the so-and-so is the new so-and-so comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. But Rebecca Poole, especially when I'm hearing Cherry Tree, boy, that sounds like Tracy Thorn. Or reminds me, puts me in the emotional mood of Tracy Thorn's work with Everything But the Girl. She is just, Rebecca Poole is not only a talent, but I mean really an evocative singer. And so good on you for bringing her back to us again.
That was important. Still hasn't been mentioned on chillpackhollywood.com, I don't think, but I think we need to obviously get another name check for Rebecca.
Thank you for bringing this up. I mean, these are not my notes of the show, but, you know, we've been hinting at this for really years now, because when we suggested this idea, we never believed we would still be doing a weekly show several years later and would be called on this. But we promised years ago that we would be doing a 24-hour live streaming podcast on the date of the end of the Mayan calendar. So
it's important.
We'll be bringing in the end of the world live for 24 hours, and we now have worked out all the technological aspects of it because people have liked this idea so much that they've come forward with the solutions of how we can stream this for free around the world. Now we're looking at what the heck do we say for 24 hours. So we are going to be enlisting people hour by hour to come onto the show and kind of take over. And don't kid yourself, Alex. You're doing at least one of the hours on the show.
I mean, as Malcolm will attest to, we've done 33 and a third hours, we've done 24 hours, done 24 hours. Yeah, we're all set for that.
And if in doubt, we just give Katie Grimason a ring and she sorts us out.
Very true.
There's an hour of me asking Katie questions and her being surprised that I know she's on the line.
Yes, a true routine. I feel as though it's time we actually promoted once again a couple of things, starting, of course, with, surprisingly enough, Hannah has not returned. You know, she's gone off with, not just that, she's also gone off with the Land of the Giants DVD box set.
Check out the online interviews, audio postcards, and more from the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Of course, one of the big stars on The X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is...
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
Much like the night sky in my head. I can't believe your agent when she sort of, I mean, I say, will Sarah be able to actually talk about the book, The Night Sky in My Head, as agents obviously want to? I said, yeah, I think so. You know, work it in there, you know, shoehorn the promotional thing in, you know, accordingly from that perspective. We haven't taken the photograph of yourself holding the book, of course. That's the next cliche. Malcolm, who's on the show tomorrow morning?
Well, tomorrow morning, great lineup, Alex. You're launching with Minty Steed, with the latest news of her country show experiences. In the studio, there's your good self, Julie Corden, and hopefully Hannah O'Brien. She's on the list.
She's on the list. Is she going to be at the door?
Well,
I don't know.
Who knows? Ian Lennox is going to be on, talking about the brothers and the 60s man that Phil's just been talking about. And he's going to be reflecting on some sort of cricket success that South Africa have had recently. And Shane and Sheila Rimmer are going to be on as well, just after 9 o'clock. And Tom Percy's coming on.
Europe's largest maze.
That'll be interesting.
William Sitwell. And curious enough, Europe's largest maze this year has the apocalyptic theme of 2012, the end of everything. And they wonder why they had to delay it opening a week because of the rain. I say, Tom, have you lost the whole thing here? Still, never mind.
Weird.
Donna Davis, the young Welsh singer we heard earlier. And, as we mentioned, fresh from his work on Strippers versus Vampires, Simon Phillips, star of thriller Airborne and The Rise and Fall of a White-Collar Hooligan. Sounds like a CV, is now available for interviews. Simon, of course, London's Guildhall School of Music and Drama. I wonder, you know, given that other alumni from London's Guildhall School of Music and Drama included Ewan McGregor, of course, known to your daughter.
Indeed, March.
Next March.
Jack the Giant Killer.
There we are.
Huge premiere. Go see it, everybody.
We will. Daniel Craig and Joseph Fine. We haven't even had a chance to actually speak to Richard Fitzwilliams. We will tomorrow about why he didn't like The Dark Knight Rises.
Ooh.
I thought it was splendid. Anyway, sorry, that's given you thinking time. Whom do you wish to go to in these last few moments, Phil, to actually ask those couple of questions, etc.? I mean, we still haven't managed to squeeze in the narrowboat event with Jane Crofts. Nicola's just sort of settling down once again to the whole thing. Sarah Hammond got the right website together. And, of course, there's Malcolm. Go for it. We've got to squeeze in a Malcolm Harry Chapin piece as well. So over to you, Phil.
So I'm picking who's going to ask me, who gets to ask me questions?
Yes.
Is that
and they're only the last two questions as well, actually.
Yeah, Jane, Jane, you get the gift of asking me the final two questions.
Go,
Jane.
Oh, there's a thing. The scary man as well. So I'm going to throw you one here because I'm determined to get the narrowboats in. Do you know what a narrowboat is?
I do not.
Ah. Clearly don't have those over there. They're wonderful things. They're boats that we used to use in this country and still use a little bit to transport goods along the canals, the man-made waterways. But they're a big tourist thing now, and I've just come back from a holiday on a narrowboat.
And will you come back to the show to talk about that, Jane?
I will.
Sarah Hammond, have you enjoyed the show?
I've had a wonderful show, thank you.
Coming back, don't forget, of course, you can meet Sarah Hammond in person, get us a signed copies of The Night Sky in My Head. It's in Waterstones. It's on Saturday in Lincoln.
And it's 12 and 1.
Between 12 and 1. There we are. Not outside the studio now. Just calm down. Nicola, have you enjoyed the hour of the show?
Yes, it's been brilliant being back. Thank you
exactly.
very much.
Exactly. Good to have you back as ever. And Malcolm?
Loved it, as always. Thanks.
Quick plug for the horse racing scenario, August the 18th.
August 18th, Newmarket. Please come along and support. Yep. www.justgiving.com/Malcolm Tomlinson if you want to make a donation. We'd all be very grateful.
Phil Leonardson make a donation, I'm sure. You know, we can work through that. I'm preempting it. Have you enjoyed the show, Phil?
I've enjoyed it a great deal. I just learned about narrow boats.
There you go. Will you be back again next week?
I will return.
There we are. See the bleep there. CIA obviously listening. Thank you, dear listener. Keep on keeping on regardless. Harry Chapin, remember when the music in the background there, our final quote for today, comes from Cherylia Morgan. Don't let the past steal your present. To Nicola, to Jane, to Sarah Hammond and to Malcolm Tomlinson. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
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 Got us all together to stand inside the rain. As we joined our hands, we'd meet in the refrain, for we had dreams.